Okay, so we're going to move then into a time where we're going to look at the Word this morning. Now, I want to say this. I've touched on it very briefly, that the salvation that the Scriptures teach about comes through the preaching of the Word. Salvation comes through the preaching of the Word. I want to speak this morning on faith, this tremendous truth of the Christian faith. First of all, to give a bit of background, let's look at some scriptures. Faith, well, what is it? Let's turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, please, and verse 1. You may be familiar with these scriptures, may have heard them many times, may know them off by heart, but so often I've heard of the Lord speaking afresh a scripture that we know very well, speaking through a scripture fresh to us, to our spirits, and we suddenly see something that we've never seen before. Yes. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's quite something, isn't it? We live in a world that says, when I see it, I believe it. If I see it, then I'll believe it. Ah, but that's not faith. Because faith, the scriptures teach us, is in fact the opposite. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is giving us an insight into the Christian walk, because we've been called to walk by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. Faith for what? Faith for my salvation. Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? Are you absolutely sure about that? Yes. Well, how can you be sure? You've not seen heaven, have you? No, I've not seen heaven. Well, how do you know? By faith. I employ faith, and faith tells me that what the scriptures teach is the truth. The scriptures teach truth, and I am convinced about that truth. But how do you know? Well, I know. I'm convinced because I believe the scripture. The scriptures are authoritative to me. But you really believe the scripture? Yes. But you see, if you really believe that scripture, that means that you have to really believe the rest of the scriptures. You can't pick and choose. Oh. But I just think that, well, you're entitled to what you think. I'm not interested. I'm interested in what the scriptures teach. Because what you think has no substance, necessarily. There's no proof there's substance to it. Because as a human being, you, like I, have emotions. Our emotions go up and down, and some of us are like roller coaster rides. And some of us are stuck on the top of a big wheel, praying that it'll get down. And when it gets down, we kiss the ground and then we hop on it again for another ride. You know, human beings are susceptible creatures. But what isn't susceptible is the Word of God. It is God's covenant. And the Hebrew idiom for covenant was that a covenant would be cut. And Jesus cut the new covenant with his blood. This, my friends, this is substance itself. Tremendous substance within the new covenant. So when the new covenant teaches me something, I need to believe that more than I believe any other contract that I have in my life. If you have a mortgage contract and the company says to you, every month you have to pay so-and-so, so-and-so, and if you don't, we'll repossess your house. Do you believe them? You believe them. You know that what they say is true. Well, how many believe that the Bible is stronger than the Halifax Building Society? It's had a little bit more influence than the Halifax, hasn't it? It's of more substance than the Halifax. So if I'm going to believe the contract that I might have with the Halifax Building Society, I'm definitely going to believe the contract that Jesus Christ of Nazareth cut with his very own blood on the cross. Amen. This is something strong for us to believe. And it's teaching us about faith. And it says, now faith is the substance. Another translation has it in the Greek word was used in other instances. That Greek word was used as a title deed. So you could say, now faith is the title deed. Being as we're talking about mortgages, the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know I have it. But you don't see it. It doesn't matter. I know I have it. My friends, how often have we experienced that in our lives? Have you experienced that in your life? Have you just known that you have something, even though there's no evidence? I have. Because the Bible has given me that opportunity. With healing, for example. We know that faith is important. The Christian walk is described in 2 Corinthians 5:7 as a walk of faith, not by sight. In other words, this faith is essential for our walk. Also, you know, the scriptures teach us in Hebrews a few verses on, Hebrews 11:6, it says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith is the one thing that pleases God. Jesus marveled, didn't he, at the Roman centurion. He says, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. But this Roman has shown faith. Just speak the word, he says. I know it'll be done. That was faith. So what's the Bible saying to you this morning and me this morning? What's it speaking to us? I believe God this morning wants to get some of us need to make a journey this morning from hope into the realm of faith. There's a tremendous difference between hope and faith. You see, hope is always future tense. Hope is always about something in the future. We've just read, now faith is. Faith is always present tense. So if you want something to happen in God's economy, according to God's word, it's not through hope. Hope will have to at some point transfer into faith, because hope is always for the future. Faith is always present. In Mark 11:24, it says this. I'll paraphrase. We'll read the same in Matthew 21, 22. Believe and receive. Mark 11, 24. I'll read it, in fact, for us just to have it. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus' words, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and sometimes you might get them. Doesn't say that? What version are you reading from? What does it say in your version? You will receive them? Not you might receive them? Not there's a strong possibility sometimes? It doesn't say that. It's very definite. It says you will receive them. Very definite. Well, how can it be that definite? Well, it's the Bible. It's authoritative. It's stronger than the mortgage agreement that we have. Well, if it's stronger than the mortgage agreement that we have, if it's a very strong promise from God, how come sometimes people say, well, I've not experienced it in that way? Well, you've not been in faith. You've been in hope. You might well have been in hope, and you might well have been sincere, and you might well have thought that you were absolutely okay, but you've only been in hope, and hope doesn't receive. It's faith that receives. I mean, it's very much like this. Who can hear the music in the room right now? Who can hear classical music right now? Put your hand up if you're hearing classical music at this moment in time. Anyone? Anyone hearing contemporary Christian music in this room right now? Are you telling me that there isn't Christian contemporary music in this room right now? I've got someone saying that there isn't any of that music in this room right now. Are you saying that there isn't any classical music in the room right now? Everyone agreed? Is everyone agreed? Would everyone say there isn't classical music in this room right now? I tell you, I just want to really find out. I want to press this point. If you believe that there isn't classical music in the room right now, put your hand up, please. I want to see everyone's hand. Okay, I'm looking around to see everyone's hand. Well, you're all pretty much wrong. Because there absolutely is classical music in this room right now. And there absolutely is contemporary Christian music in the room right now. It's just that we don't have a receiver to receive that music. But I promise you this, if I put a radio receiver here and I tune that radio receiver in to BBC Radio 3 or Classic FM or whatever it is, we would hear the music that's in this room right now. Am I right? That's the truth. The music is in the room. The question is, do we have a receiver? 2,000 years ago, the scriptures teach that Jesus Christ died on this cross, and there were two very definite things that happened when he died on the cross. Several things happened, but two that I'm going to mention right now. One was this, that the blood was shed. Why was the blood shed? It was for the remission of our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So his blood was shed so that we would have our sins forgiven. Something else happened. The stripes on his back, his flesh was torn. When we take Holy Communion, we take the cup and we take the bread. The cup represents his blood. The blood that we take is for the remission of sins. But we take the bread also in the communion. What does the bread represent? It represents his body that was broken for us. Well, if the blood was for the remission of sins, why is the body there? What's the point of the body? The body, it says in the scriptures, Old Testament and in Peter's scripture to us, is by his stripes we were healed. By his stripes we were healed. In other words, there is a healing virtue for us through the atonement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if someone has the interpretation of that tongue that was given, I invite you now to give the interpretation of that tongue. Like a well, water's bubbling over, is that which I've prepared for you, my children. A well of life, a well of abundant life, bubbling over, drink of that well, and you will never thirst again. Drink, my children, drink from that which the Lord is providing. Drink, drink. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The tongues are mentioned in the New Testament, and the interpretation of tongues is mentioned, of course, in the New Testament. And if anyone has an interest in finding out more about tongues, please feel free to write an email to me, ask me. I'll be glad to share with you about this. Very biblical aspect of Christian worship. Hallelujah. I'm so happy that we're open for the Holy Spirit to move among us, you know. You know, the Christian church should never be about just information. It's not about information. Information is part of it, but it's more than information. If it's only information, it's very dry. There has to be an authenticity to the information. And I believe the authenticity is always in the practical, whether it's tongues, whether it's worship, whether it's people pouring out their hearts. The problem with the Christian church so often has been that it's been so orientated around looking decent on the outside, having a show, but it really, it's about the heart. It's about what's going on in there and us being open to each other, loving one another, being open to God, not having a pretense, not putting on a pretense or but being open, vulnerable towards us, vulnerable to each other and vulnerable before God, for God to speak. Praise God. Well, Mark 11:24, there is an understanding in this verse. And we could turn also to Matthew 21:22 similarly. But what we have here is an understanding that we can say, I receive from God right now. I believe in what the scriptures teach. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe that I have my petition when I pray. I believe I have that petition when I pray. I believe it. It's part of me. I will believe that. And this is very important. So that when we pray, our prayers aren't a shot in the dark. So many people, you know, when they pray, they'll have a go. Maybe God's listening today. Maybe he's having, a quiet time, and maybe my prayers might just get through. Oh, no, my friends. No. The prayers of faith, God always answers prayers of faith. The key is they must have faith. They've got to have faith. You know, the irony is people can pray the Lord's Prayer all their lives, but unless they pray the Lord's Prayer with faith, it means nothing. We have to have faith. And this faith aspect is a decision, you know. We decide to have faith. It's not a funny feeling that we feel. It's not an emotion. It's a decision of the mind. I will operate in faith. So I make that decision by my will. And then what happens? We go from hope into faith, and there's power. The difference is in the results. You'll find if you make the transformation from hope to faith, you'll see a manifest difference in the results. I mean, they'll be tangible differences. So we have to change from having hope to faith. I'll give you an illustration. I lived in London in a flat in London. I was down. I was depressed. I was going through the worst time of my life. Awful, really. I was just depressed. And I don't know if anyone here has had depression, but you don't want to get up out of bed. It's as if everything is dark, everything is just, it's not a nice place to be. It's an awful place to be. I was living in that place, depressed, down, dark, physically ill with various things always getting hold of me. This one particular day, I remember I was full of flu, and you've heard me share the testimony of when a friend, an Irish evangelist, came to the house, and I was upset to see him, really. But I want to emphasize a part of that testimony that I haven't, I don't think, ever emphasized before. I went to the door. I hear the door knock up from my bed of flu, you know, wrapped the duvet over my head. I saw it was this evangelist. I thought, oh, not this bloke. I bowed down, pretending, hoping that he hadn't seen me, and I went back to my bed. As I'm walking down the corridor, he shouts, "Stevie, I can see you." He was peeping through the window. And I went to the door and I said, "Martin, I'm far too ill to speak to you now. I'm just very unwell. I can't speak to you. Stevie, I've come a long way to speak to you. Please let me in." "Okay, Martin, but you haven't got long because I just need to be in bed. I went back to bed. He came into the bedroom, sat down in the bedroom and said, I'm going to fill the atmosphere with praise and I'll just sing a couple of songs. Because I told him I couldn't talk. My throat was too... And so he started to sing. And the song he sung was, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord of hosts. It breaks the heavy yoke, it breaks the heavy yoke. When we shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord of hosts. Breaks the heavy yoke, it breaks the heavy yoke. When we shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord of hosts. Breaks the heavy yoke, it breaks the heavy yoke. When we shout to the Lord. That's what he was singing. When he first told me he was going to sing, you know, if I was stronger, I would have thrown him out. But I just thought, I'll let him sing and he'll be over with soon. After about 10 minutes, I was enjoying it. I enjoyed the singing. It was quite, there was something pleasant. I think most of you felt it then, didn't you? It's the words, you see, shouting to the Lord. And after half an hour, I was up out of the sick bed praising God. Well, now then, what had happened? I want to relate this to faith. Because what had happened was a shift in my thinking. I'd stopped looking at hope and wanting hope. I had hope because I'd hoped. I wasn't hoping to live that way. I mean, I was always hoping that things were going to get better. But I made a journey that day from hope into faith. You know, you can make that journey so quick. It's such a quick journey to make. So that all the things that you've done in your life that have been hope can be switched over to faith immediately and everything changes. That's what happened to me that day. I went from hoping that things would be different in my life, hoping that I'd have, you know, get over this depression, hoping that I'd be changed. I went into faith. And how that happened was I made a decision to stand up out of my bed and worship God. Now, I could have stayed in the bed. I could have been determined and just say, I'm not getting up out of it. But you know, sometimes when you're wrong, just admit, I've been wrong. You know, just say, I've been wrong. I got it wrong. Big deal. How many of us can admit that we've got it wrong? You know, I used to really, you know, well, Sam's not here now, is he? You try and get Sam to say he's sorry. Very difficult. Will you say you're sorry?
I'm sorry. I was.
Can't say it. But you know, for us, we can say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I got it wrong. And for me, it was theology that had trapped me to a large degree. I'd had a lot of theology in my head. I realized that it trapped me in a place of trying to understand and think things through all the time, trying to understand things intellectually. It had created a cage for me. I was wrong. And I had to just say, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to just worship God. I'm going to leave hope and jump into faith. And that's when the difference happened. My friends, I haven't been depressed since. That was many, many years ago. I haven't had that depression since. Praise God. He set me free. But it was just that little jump into faith. And it took a friend to help me. You see, faith requires a corresponding action. So if you have faith for something, if there's something inside of you, if you're thinking to yourself this morning, I think I've been hoping to be healed, but I haven't exercised faith. I need to exercise faith to be healed. There should be a corresponding action. We've read in the scriptures so often, of the corresponding action that happened. Someone said, rise up and be healed. Rise up. Well, they had to rise up, didn't they? They had faith to believe it, but then they had to rise up. That was the action, the corresponding action. Well, for us, maybe you've got faith for something today. You're believing for something. Perhaps you had hope, and this morning, what's being said now, it's turning into faith. Well, what's going to happen then is it's got to now move into action. There's got to be a corresponding action to faith. That's vital. Faith requires the corresponding action. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That belief needs a corresponding action. Reading there from Mark 11:24. One of the actions we can have is by speaking. That can be an action. So we can speak our belief. In the heart, we believe, and by the mouth, we confess what we believe. So if I were to say, for example, I've got a headache, and I've got a headache this morning, and that's the reality. I've just got a headache. I've got a pounding headache this morning. It's just a pounding headache. And if I was hoping that that headache would go, and maybe I said a prayer, but I said a prayer in hope, not in faith, that it would go. And I've still got the headache. And then if I have a revelation that I've got, that I needed to employ faith, I'd say, no, I believe that by his stripes I am healed. I will receive my healing from you now, Lord. I'm putting my receiver in place. I'm switching my receiver on, and I'm receiving your healing. Well, what do you do then? You stop speaking, I have got a headache, and you start speaking, even before you've received it, you start speaking, I am healed. In Jesus' name. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. Surely you're lying. You're not lying. That's not lying. That's confessing in faith. I want to tell you the true testimony of a well-regarded man known as A.B. Simpson, Dr. Simpson, who was the Presbyterian minister and the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. A tremendous man and a tremendous work that was formed under his leading, the Christian Missionary Alliance. Well, he was told that he was dying of a heart condition. Dr. Simpson was dying. And he said that he'd heard many testimonies, you see, of healing, even in his own church. And he took some time away from the church, went up to a farm where he could spend a lot of time studying healing from the Word. And after the end of a couple of weeks, Dr. Simpson took a piece of paper and a pencil, and he wrote these words. After searching the Word of God for 2 weeks, I am convinced the Bible teaches that divine healing is for us today. And I, this day, accept Jesus Christ as my healer and declare that I am now healed from my heart trouble and that I am well. Okay? And I promise God to use this newfound strength and life and energy entirely for his purpose and to further the gospel. I promise God. Now, there's no physical evidence at this point that he's been healed. Are you following me? There's no physical evidence. What he's done is he's made a decision in his mind. That's all that's happened based on the scriptures. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, this is for each one of us here this morning. in whatever area it applies to you, this can be applied into all areas of our lives. It's not just physical healing. We can apply this to every area of our life. It's about receiving from God who loves us. We're his children. He loves us. He's got plans for us. And he wants us to receive from him, that we can be the vessels that he has created us to be. Why? For our benefit? Yes, for our benefit. But also for the benefit of all those people out there who are in dire straits, so that we can reach them. Not with theory. The world doesn't need our theories. It certainly doesn't need another religion. The world needs the reality of a life that's been impacted by a man called the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who lives inside of people called Christians. That's what the world needs. Doesn't need theory. Needs the reality of the gospel. A.B. Simpson made that decision based on the scriptures. He says, as he wrote, he went further. He said, I will share this truth of healing with others and will help them. Now, after that time, Dr. Simpson went to a luncheon where he was to be the speaker. All that came to him to speak about at the luncheon was from Matthew 8:17, himself. So Dr. Simpson opened the Bible and read the entire verse and told the audience he wanted to focus his attention on that word himself. Then he gave them his testimony about he had been searching the Bible and had come to the conclusion that Jesus was still a healer for today. After the luncheon, he was invited to go mountain climbing by the men who he'd spoken to. The thought immediately came to him that he wouldn't be able to because of his heart condition. This is what happens. This is where, you know, to use that American phrase, the rubber hits the road. The thought immediately came to him about this inability to possibly climb the mountain. Then he remembered that he had declared his healing. So he accepted the invitation and went up. Up to this point, he'd not really seen or felt his healing. Very interesting, isn't it? But he just accepted it and declared it by faith. Now, some people would make a very good case for this being irresponsible. I couldn't defend it. If someone were to say it's been irresponsible, I'd say you're entirely reasonable in what you're saying. Because in the natural, certainly it does seem to be irresponsible. There is something out of the ordinary, extraordinary, and beyond the natural when we operate in faith. It's supernatural. It's beyond the natural level. So anyone thinking on a natural level will find it hard to understand this. And very often, even within churches, people find it hard to understand this type of thing. Because people are so used to thinking naturally. But God is about the business of getting us to think supernaturally. And each one has to operate according to their own conviction. This is a very well anointed Christian leader, and whose testimony I'm very grateful for this morning. He overcame those feelings because, as he claimed, the word promises his healing and that all the symptoms would go away. He fought this battle all the way up the mountain. By the time he got up the mountain, he had walked about victorious with any symptoms. At the start of the climb, there were symptoms. But at those symptoms, he didn't retreat. Instead, he took an opposite advance. And at the symptoms, he said, "Thank you, Lord, for your healing." So when there was a twinge, whereas before he would retreat back, knowing his own limitations and his condition, now he was taking a step forward based on the scripture and saying, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Praise be to God because I'm healed. Thank you, Lord." He used those twinges as a springboard to praise God and thank him for his healing. You say, this is something that I've not encountered in my life. Well, that's okay. We prayed at the start of this service that we'd have something fresh, didn't we? Didn't we pray it?
Yes.
We've got an opportunity now to take it. Amen. And what are you going to say? Not at all. Not at all. I don't think anyone in this building is angry about the tongues.
No.
I think that people are delighted about the tongues. I think it was of the Lord. I think it was right. And I think it was an entirely encouraging thing. And we're thankful to the Lord for it. We are thankful to the Lord for it. And thank you for having the courage to speak. You're well known to us, our dear sister Heather, and we appreciate what the Lord is doing in and through you and Bill.
Amen.
We appreciate it.
Bishop Thomas said that tongue is the purest language.
Yes.
If God is writing.
Yes. Absolutely. Our sister wants to say something. Ah. Oh, amen. Well, so that was the same material. Yes. I'll tell you the truth. Let me tell you this. I want to share this with you as we come to a close. We more or less reached the end of the testimony of our dear brother, Dr. Simpson. Let me share this. There's an Anglican church just down the road from Harrods. I attended that church for several years. It's called Holy Trinity Brompton. And the people in general there are terribly posh. And it's a lovely church. And the vicar at the time of my attending there is a man called Sandy Miller. In fact, I think Peter, our brother, was also attending after me, but he was attending the same church. Now, I want to tell you what happened in that church because it relates to what you've just said, Heather. A man from America visited this middle-class English church. His name was John Wimber. And he came with a team of people, and the team of people prayed before the service There was about 20 of them. They prayed that the Lord would give them words of knowledge for the service. Well, they came out into this huge Anglican building, you know, and they were up the front there, and they had these little pieces of paper on which were written the words of knowledge. So someone had written, and, you know, something in the team, they prayed beforehand, Lord, have you got any words of knowledge for us that we could share with the people? I want to share with you a testimony that I received from someone who was there at that meeting. They said this. As they unraveled the paper, the first one was about, there was someone here, you were 15 years old, you're about 50 years old now, and at 15 you had a fall on your bicycle, and you injured your right leg, and your right leg is still injured to this day, just below the knee, and God is going to heal you today. Is that person here? Well, you picture a middle-class Anglican church, but surprise, surprise, a hand went up. And a man said, it was me. Now, how did this visitor from America know? It was a true word of knowledge. As that man was prayed for, he was healed 35 years or so after the time of the incident. The next scripture, not scripture, sorry, the next word of knowledge was read. Sure enough, another hand goes up, and then another, and then another, and then another. And this man who was in the room said to me, in that room, he said, it started off as a sort of cold, Anglican, formal type of meeting, really. He said, by the end of the meeting, it was as if a tide of faith had risen in the building. He said, it was as if faith was rising as a tide. And by the time people left that building, there was warmth, there was color, there was a sense that God was really alive and ministering to us. God was speaking to us. And he said that during those meetings, such was the joy and the happiness. In one of the meetings, there was a barrister, Eton, Cambridge, a barrister, but he was laughing in a totally outrageous way. I mean, he was totally out of sync with the Anglican tradition of that church. This man had uncontrollable laughter. He was laughing so much, he was disturbing the meeting, and they said, please carry him out. Uncontrollable laughter from this barrister. My friends, I want to tell you, that barrister was Nicky Gumbel, who then went on to write the Alpha Course. And hundreds of thousands of people around the world have come to faith in Jesus because of that Alpha Course. As he was being carried out of the building that day, in hysterical laughter, under the joy of the Lord. If you see me laughing in church, it happened a few weeks ago. We had a few of us laughing. Don't ever be upset by it. Don't ever think we're being irreverent. Don't ever think that. Just think, hey, something different. Let's go with it. And enjoy the ride. Because I think God's got a ride in store for us. And it could be quite interesting. The thing with these sorts of times is that we can shy away and miss out, or we can just embrace it and go with it. I believe God is doing something beautiful. God wants to do something beautiful among us. He's drawing us together. I don't believe that anyone here this morning is here by accident. I believe that God has drawn each one of us here, and I mean each one of us here today, for a reason. as they were carrying Nicky Gamble out that day, John Wimber pointed to him and said, "That man is going to be used in evangelism." Well, how right he was. So when God moves, the script gets changed. So dear Heather, thank you for speaking as you did. When God moves, the script gets changed. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand as we close the service this morning. You know, if we're close enough to each other, I know it'd be difficult for us all to do so, but let's try and join hands with people. Let's join hands together if we can. And Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to walking in faith. We commit ourselves to leaving hope, although we still have hope for those things in the future, but where we need faith rather than hope, we commit ourselves to making that change and receiving from you by faith, by being good receivers of your word. Have your way then, Lord, in and through our lives, in Jesus' holy name. Praise be to God. Amen.